Hey everyone, this is John.
This is Worse.
And this is Ryan.
And this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is going to be the mini show for the month of February 2020. So we'll talk about any games or topics we damn well please. This is a free-for-all.
All right.
I got some games. You guys got some games?
I have Uno game.
Yeah?
I got two games to talk about.
Okay. I got a few games. A couple ones I'm going to follow up from the official show last week. But I won't spend a whole hell of a lot of time on either one. Do we need to vamp? Do we need to warm up at all?
I was going to say, yeah, like, we're like, totally... For one, we were low energy at the start of that. I'm really happy to be here, really excited. Things are great.
Hey, I had the fun intro. This is Worse, and you guys were like...
I'm present.
That was a spot-on imitation. Yeah, it was amazing.
God, I'm doing good. Things are good.
I just got off work, guys... and it sucked.
Oh, yeah?
Fuck Target.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, I can't complain.
They gave us but you're bringing them down from the inside, right?
Yeah, slowly but surely.
That's good. You guys, marking down all the Funko Pops.
Did you guys sell your GameStop stock before it fell down below $100?
Oh yeah, everyone's done with GameStop. Now they're moving over to like Dunkin' Donuts, I think, is the next one.
You know, I think Dunkin' Donuts sticks around longer than Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
Lock that in.
Oh, but by the way, yeah, like...
I better stick around. It's fucking Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm. Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts, I agree, is way better than Krispy Kreme. I think Krispy Kreme is so...
Yeah. Krispy Kreme is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
a sponsor.
Oh, they're ending,
damn it!
They're ending their sponsorship as soon as they hear this one. Oh, but they're all deaf. That was good. No, but like, we talked about it. I thought this was going to take a lot longer to play out, but the stock price is already down to 50.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, from a height of 500.
I mean, like, I'm sure they're still pumped. They were at $3.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's probably $3 is probably more accurate value for their stock than 50. Still.
So I mean, what happens at this point?
At this point, I think we can probably say that this is a fad, and that this isn't going to work in the long term. The whole having the retail side coalesce together as a force, unless it's literally like an immediate like spike in the value of a stock, because it's all built on nothing. Like what happened there with inflating the stock price to 500? There's no real metric behind justifying that.
Did the hedge funds lose their money?
So I mean, here's the thing though.
That's all I care about.
If the hedge funds kept writing. You know, kept selling, they'd be fine right now. They would have eaten a little bit. I mean, of course, 50, so it's not that great. But yeah, I know some of them did. I heard a couple of the hedge funds were lost, like, you know, the value of their... Way to go.
I was trying to do quietly.
There is no quiet. There's never...
You know what is real quiet? Before the show.
I know, right?
Can you just start drinking non-carbonated beverages? Have you thought about that?
He just brings in cans of coconut water.
shake up your Coca-Cola beforehand. No, but like, where we go? Oh, yeah. I know that a lot of, or a handful of hedge funds have lost very, very big amounts of money on this, but there's also, like, it's a very slim number. Keep in mind, all of the hedge funds are worth trillions and trillions of dollars. GameStop itself had a value that was artificially inflated to $25 billion, when it should be about $2 or $3 billion, so... Worst case scenario, $22 billion just got fleeced out of some hedge funds. And that's nothing. And also, keep in mind, I've been going on to the Wall Street Bets just to kind of get the temperature of the room of what's going on right over there. And there are some really fucking pissed off idiots that bought at 350, just believing all of these emojis of rocket ships and diamonds and hands and shit. That they were serious about this, when it's like, no, you jumped in way too late into this thing and you got ripped off by the people that were telling you that they were the heroes.
There are no heroes.
Right.
In this exactly. situation.
It's
and don't get me
it's
wrong.
A big shark and then a bunch of smaller little sharks.
And don't get me wrong. I love seeing rich people lose money. Love it. It's the best. But this like, it's not the way to do it. Like you're not going to change the system by engaging in it that way. The only way that we are going to positively affect change in our financial system is through the collective action of government, not through the collective action of the memification of our financial system.
Absolutely. Agree. 100%. Like, and again, that's what 4chan was saying when Donald Trump got elected. They were like, we just memed our way into the White House. Like, that's their attitude. This is very much an anarchistic, nihilistic thing. So I don't see how they can, unless it's literally going to be the sort of thing where they just cold out of nowhere a couple of these small-time people running Wall Street Bets and 4chan agree that this specific stock right now, everybody just go nuts buying it for the next hour, and then at 3 p.m. we dump it all. You know, unless that happens, I don't see how this strategy is going to work, because that's the biggest mistake you can make is telling somebody. It's like playing poker and showing the table your cards. That's what they have to do, because they're such small players in this game. If they really want to move the needle and, again, create and drive up a stock price $300, $400, it means that they have to have a ton of capital to buy tons and tons of shares. And in order to do that, they have to spread their message to other people. And I'm sure every one of these hedge fund managers is now, one, reconsidering their investments in shorting, just in general. And two, they're going to see this as a new data point that they can, and that these people are really fucking smart. These are MIT grads and computer programmers. They went to, like, fucking the best schools in America. These are some of the smartest minds. At the end of the day, they're going to win, like, this, because their opponent are self-professed, like, YOLO retards. Like, who are you going to take in this battle of minds to figure out how to work the game?
I just think it's fundamentally sad that our best minds go into the financial market. We should be sending our best minds to scientific research, renewable energy.
Elon Musk himself said that.
We don't need a cure for cancer. It's fine.
Yeah. You know, and Elon Musk, well, yeah, that's true. I mean, that would be really, really sweet if we could make that happen. That would sort of turn things around for everyone. No more cancer. Ugh.
All right, Elon Musk.
But yeah. So I don't know. I guess the last word I have on the whole GameStop thing is, you know, we're not going to affect positive change in our financial system on Reddit. It needs to be done at a ballot box.
Right, and I think that some really good solutions to this, if you don't like both sides, I mean, or if you don't like either, if you think one side's the good guy and one side's the bad guy, or whether or not you think both are bad, like, same solution's the same thing. You're right. It's just through increasing the short-term cap gains tax. Remember, everyone that made money right now on this, they're going to have to pay short-term cap gains tax, which... I think the lowest bracket is like 10%, which is fucking super cheap, super fucking cheap. Increase that amount. For one, the short-term traders are the ones that are destabilizing everything in the first place. If you want, you know, more robust, strong markets, it's people that invest their money in long-term approach. So that's why long-term capital gains taxes are less than short-term capital gains taxes, because they want you to keep things stable. They don't want you taking a company and increasing its value 1,000-fold for a week. That's insane. That's not rational. And again, I will point that out. The hedge fund traders, they're shorting these stocks for a reason. Like, they are the ones being logical about this. They're the ones saying, these companies' days may be numbered. Like, who uses a BlackBerry anymore, for fuck's sake? AMC is struggling. Like, these are companies that they could be gone in a year. And that's what they're doing with all of this shorting. At any rate, I know, yeah, you're right. If you want to change things, short-term cap gain taxes, increase those, and increase transaction taxes. Put a tax on transactions. Mm. So if you're in there doing a lot of, like, day trading and stuff like that, you're going to eat a little bit of that, you know? It's justifiable. I mean, there's commission. Like, the mutual funds I work on, they'll pay commissions on their trades, and they pay a lot of commissions on their trades. It's justified. It's part of the process of moving all of these big piles of money around, so...
Wes, you got a game?
Yeah, I was going to take a sip of my drink, but fine.
Man, no, you're not. You're going to talk about a game.
Screw closing on the soda cap. Okay. So, I was looking at the Nintendo eShop the other day. I was flipping through it, and I was like, I need a game to play while just watching Mandalorian. Or whatever. I just need a game.
The Mandalorian. Or pornography.
Or pornography. No. I need at least... I need both my hands for both of them.
I don't get it. Why?
I'm confused. Okay.
So I was flipping through the store and I came across this weird game called Here Be Dragons. And the first glance of this, I'm like, oh, this is
John's wet dream. It's maps and it's numbers. I mean,
This is it.
I mean, it is here.
Turn off the pornography.
Yeah, I know, right? Dude. It's just a simple turn-taking combat game. There's nothing much to it. You're not moving units around. It's literally like a RPG. You got your dude to the left and the enemies on the right, and you're just taking turns making attacks. It deals a lot with dice, but not in like the numerical values of the dice only determine what abilities you use or attacks or whatever. So like this attack will heal your guys, but you need a 1 or a 2. Or you can put a 6 into this guy's regular raw attack to boost it, or a 3 into his defense to raise his defense. You know, things like that. And you roll dice per turn. And the amount of dice you get are the amount of dice per units on the board, period. So let's say, for instance, I got 2 ships, and the enemy, I'm against 3 snot monsters. I just got done with that level. So there'd be 5 dice that come out. So I choose which dice I want to use, and then the rest of the dice get distributed amongst the NPCs. If, for instance, a dice comes up that does not, the remaining dice doesn't have a value that fits one of their abilities, they take 1 per unit that can't take a die. Let's say they only can use a 4 or a 5, but there's only like 1s through 3s or whatever available, they're going to take a damage or whatever. It's a weird numerical balancing thing. That's all it is. It's very straightforward. There's not much to it.
So at its most basic level, it's like your ships on one side, their dragons on the other side, just like an RPG like battle situation. Like,
yeah, there's not really any kind of like there's no character development, or you're not putting stats in your enemy, your new units or whatnot. It's very straightforward. So far I've had,
and the dice that you roll kind of determine the sort of build or
kind of I guess very, like the, very raw sense. Like, they only have like 2 options I've seen so far. Like, there are 2 abilities, so to speak, and you only can distribute 1 dice per unit per turn. So some abilities even cast 2 dice in order to use. Mm. So you have to take 2 turns in order to build up for that ability. And it has to reach those criteria. So this ability requires 2 dices within the values of 4 and 5. So you have to get either 2 4s or 4 and a 5 or 2 5s in order to use that
ability. About 5 and a 6?
No. Because it's outside the parameter.
Huh.
So that's it. Your units have health, and they have defenses, and they have attack. It's very straightforward, but it's a goofy. It's got that, the artwork reminds me of Regular Show. You ever watched Regular Show way back in the day with those weird, crude kind of... It's like that kind of thing. It's a quirky little story. It's a very simplistic game. There's not much going into it, but it's a great little thing to do.
It's like the perfect companion piece to...
Yeah, I'm watching TV. I need something that I can zone off on. Just, it's all sepia tone. It all looks like a map. There's just nothing to it.
So you recommend it then?
I recommend it. It was, I think I got it for like $10. That was fine. I think it was on sale for that. And maybe 15. I can't remember.
They can put that on their eShop page.
Yeah, I recommend it. It's fine. There's not much to it.
You know what's interesting? Here Be Dragons. So the Wikipedia entry says that it's a classic Latin expression that one puts on a map to denote an area of danger. Not to say there literally are dragons, but
I haven't seen any dragons yet. I fought megalodons, whales, trine person, and these snot monsters. And then Neptune showed up for one battle where he just added like a new thing to the fight. I forget even what he did. It was something else. Like, there's an initiative to it as well. There's a little scale in the corner of the thing. And let's say I use 2 6 dies. It may tip the scale towards me because I'm using higher cost dice, thus they're heavier on the scale. And so my initiative may turn from my guys going first this turn to their guys going first this turn.
Huh.
And so there is a slight balancing thing to, if you want to control the initiative. Because at the beginning of the next turn, they get to choose dice first.
Okay.
And then you get whatever's left over. So there is a, there's some little strategies here and there in it. And I'm very early in it still. I've had three different captains, and so my ships have been a little different.
Wait, do they, like, just give you different captains per, like, sort of scenario that they give you? Yeah, or, like, have people died? Have you killed people here?
One guy died. One of the captains died. It's following the story of, like, this, the court alchemist and the other guy, and the alchemist is, they're doing something nefarious, and the alchemist ruined the, led the one guy astray, and he died for it, and, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Can't ever trust the alchemist. It's weird,
yeah.
That's gonna be tough one to explain to his widow. It's like, oh, what got him? It's like the snot monsters? Snot monsters got your husband? What dog? Yeah. It's a real shame. Kind of seemed like he was enjoying it for a minute there, too.
I don't know. It was fine.
Cool.
It's a good logo.
So speaking of alchemists.
Oh, boy.
I got a few more thoughts on that Atelier Ryza game.
It has something to do with an alchemist.
Oh, yeah. The main character is an alchemist.
Oh.
So one of, like, the primary gameplay loops is that you go out into the field, and there are boulders or piles of rocks or just patches of grass or flowers or bugs, and you just kind of collect things.
Hmm.
And you bring those back to your house or your shop, and then you throw them all into a big cauldron, and there's this a fairly in-depth sort of crafting mechanic to the game. And that's like your alchemy. You're taking all of these things that you found, throwing them all into a pot, and creating more things out of them, whether it's new equipment that will help you harvest items better, or upgraded equipment for your battle situations, or new things that you can craft, because there are different side quests where, like, okay, this person wants this thing. I can't make that yet, but if I build these other things, it kind of builds me up to that.
If I murder this guy and use his bones, then I could do that. Yeah,
precisely. There are bones you can collect, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
As far as I know, not human bones, but they're just kind of lying around and no one's asking any questions.
Is this the game you were playing with Mika?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, now I'm on the right same page.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then a lot of the primary mechanics of the game kind of feed back into that crafting system, your alchemy. And I'll be honest, I haven't really engaged with the alchemy system, because they allow you just to automate it. Which is, of course, what I'm going to do. Because there are
lazy fuck.
There are all these different ingredients and all these different nodes, and every ingredient has, like, an inherent sort of elemental alignment to it. And the way that you're mixing ingredients together is going to affect the quality and the different skills that you're attaching to the equipment that you're making.
This sounds like my kind
of thing. Oh, maybe you'd enjoy this then. But pretty much, like, when you're crafting something, you can just, like, tap a button and it's like, okay, do you want to make a high quality thing or do you want to make a low quality thing? Higher quality thing is going to use more resources and better stuff. Low quality thing is just like, this person wants some honey. Take some beehives and just fucking make them some honey. I don't care if it's any good. So, whenever I'm going to craft something, like, who is this for? What am I doing with this? High quality or low quality? Do the work for me, game. And it does. The other side of the game is, like, this sort of...
Game came with a poster, apparently.
Oh, yeah. My copy did not come with a poster.
One of the characters are in a bathing suit.
You didn't get
that. You know.
Oh, is that a towel? Or is that a poster?
Oh, man.
It's probably a pillow.
It's probably a pillow. Yeah, you know... Why do they get all the best stuff in Japan?
I know, right?
I mean, well, Tecmo Koei, who publishes these games, they...
Those shameless always, perverts.
Those shameless perverts. They're also shameless downloadable content creators.
Oh, okay.
But neither here nor there, because they also are shameless about releasing all these different editions for these games. There's, like, collector's editions and special editions and masterpiece editions and all this different shit, where it's, you know, just fucking sell me a game. I don't need your fucking swag. But the other side of this game, outside of the crafting, is, like, this kind of, like, dungeon crawler nature to the gameplay. So, as I was saying, you go out into these fields or, you know, forests or caves or whatever, and you collect all this loot, There are enemies you can fight out on the field. It seems like when you get to a certain level, they'll kind of ignore you, which is nice because you don't have to engage with the battles if you don't want to. But you can see them all roaming around the field. You can hit them with your weapons. Depending on the weapon you have equipped, it'll kind of give them a debuff at the start, which is kind of neat. But what you're doing is you're going into these dungeons and you are collecting new stuff, defeating new monsters, and then once you get it to a certain point in the dungeon, they call them ruins in the game, they're like, okay, now we've scattered all these different glowy objects throughout the ruins, go backtrack through and find them. And a lot of times when you're walking through any particular area, you are going to like fill up your satchel, your basket, or whatever they call it, and you won't have any more... Your bindle, yes. If you're a homeless person. Unhoused person. So,
or just a kid escaping from... Just running away from home.
Yeah, just following the train tracks. See where they go.
Just see, yeah.
That's where I got my ahead in life.
Yeah, we can...
Those train tracks.
Yeah.
Where we found you.
So, you'll fill up all the loot that you can carry. And at that point, it's just... You're just better off like... warping back to your shop and dumping everything off so you can go back in and fill up more stuff. And also, I haven't found a way yet to actually like restore your HP outside of battle. There are like different pieces of equipment that you can assign to your characters in battle to where you can use them to restore your HP. But if you end a battle with low HP and the next fight you can tell is going to be against something stronger than you is not going to go well. You have to warp out back to your house, heal up, and then you can go back in. So there's this like dungeon crawler aspect in that sense. And like the crafting even feeds into the battles as well. Cause like I was saying, like you don't actually buy potions or health restoring things. You have to make them. But once you make them, you equip them, you don't have to like keep on crafting new ones unless you want to give new ones to different characters. Like, okay, this person has a healing item now, you've equipped it, they can use that in battle. But then the battle system has to ramp up to where you can get to the point where you have to use it. You have to use basic attacks, and using enough basic attacks will build up your meter to use special attacks. And using special attacks at the right time will tag in one of your party members and they'll follow up with an attack. And doing these sort of chains will build up another meter. Which will allow you to use items. And items can be healing items, attacking items, and every enemy has a weakness. Exploiting their weaknesses does more damage, but also builds up more of your meters. But in the end, like, spamming the attack button and then spamming specials when you have enough gets you through most fights.
I like to hear that.
But I can't tell if you're positive or negative on this game.
I can't tell yet either. I'm trying not to...
What's the kid's take on it?
I don't know. Mika seems to have lost interest. Hmm. So, you know...
Probably because you're talking about layers upon layers of gaming systems.
All right, Mika, we're going to go to the cauldron. We're going to craft for 20 minutes.
And then we're going to go kill all the animals.
See that? See those sheep you like so much over there? We're going to go fuck them up. We need their wool. So, I don't know. Like, I don't ever play for more than an hour a day. I kind of like time it out. Like, okay, I'm going to just go harvest some stuff and maybe like make a little bit of progress in this dungeon. And then, you know, after an hour, I'll come back out and I'll save and that'll be enough. And I think like playing piecemeal like that is making it so that I'm not getting sick of anything that's happening, you know.
I'm sure that's what they were going for.
Right. We don't want them to get tired of us.
We make it so they had to do it in bits and pieces.
I mean, maybe that's why you can't use healing items outside of battle, so that at certain points you have to leave and you can just save. Like, yeah, I think that's enough for one day. Maybe it was intentional. So, yeah, this is a game that I'll chip away at, and when other things come out, I'll probably shelve it and go back to it when, you know, in between other major releases when I finish things up. But yeah, seems okay so far. Who wants to tag in?
Sounds like it's Ryan's turn. I got nothing else, man. Unless you want to hear more rambling about World of Warcraft.
I
got nothing.
I got two games to talk about.
Cool.
I got one called Fuser, which is really cool. It's a great game. Like it's a music game, but it's not like probably not like your standard sort of like rhythm game that expects you to like hit things in a certain beat. Well, there is a beat associated with it. You're not really obliged to do that. What is it? It's a simulator of music festivals, I guess is the best way to put it, in which you are a DJ performing at them. So if you've seen, like, Ibiza or something like that, or, like, Tomorrowland, or fucking, what's the one we have here? Electric Daisy Carnival, things like that. You know, you got DJs, you got these giant sets, pyrotechnics, everyone is in the crowd doing drugs and having a great time. And in this game, you're, I guess, role-playing as that guy, that person, that, and you get to, make your character. You get to, like, determine what kind of DJ you look like. With all these fun shit.
So what does your DJ look like?
Mine is just a real fucking basic dude. He's just wearing like some khaki shorts and a blue shirt and a hat, and he's got some shades.
Oh god, you know, man. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of weird shit you can build with the characters. I didn't really mess around with that too much, just because I was like, that's, you know. Oh, and you get like moves. Like, so before your sets, you, like, do, like, one of a series of moves. If you feel so inclined, you can determine what it is.
Got some choreography.
Right, yeah. But the gameplay itself, what do you do in this game, right? Okay, so the idea is that you're a DJ, and you've got a series of turntables in front of you. And you've got a giant catalog of hits, like, current right now popular hits. And the library gets updated from time to time, so they're always looping in new music. And the way that it works is you've got four disc players, or consider them turntables. And then you will have what they call a crate. And your crate will have maybe 10 to 20 songs. I think at minimum 10 songs, but up to, I think, 20. And then they'll break them apart. So you have it broken into percussion, so like a drum beat. You will have a vocal line, so whatever, just the singer of a song is. You will have a rhythm, which would usually be like a bass line or maybe a keyboard or something. And then you have your lead, which is usually, again, a guitar or like another type of keyboard. To like, I'm trying to give you an example. Like, a perfect example, what is it? The Clash have a song on there. I'm trying to think of, I think it's London Calling. So, of course, you have literally guitar, bass, drums, vocals, bass, guitar. You know, that, or Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine is another song.
Man, it's a good song.
So again, yeah, that's like a fucking sick bass line.
Yeah, I told you.
All right. And it's all, you're welcome to keep going, Wes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry, my ADD.
But they want the control. No. So yeah, it's a catalog of hundreds and hundreds of songs, varying styles. So you get a lot of hip hop. You get a lot of straight up dance music. I mean, it's for a music festival, right? So you got dance music. There's a handful of country songs in there. There's a bunch of fun throwback tracks. Like, I'm trying to think of some of the funnier ones. Like Salt and Pepper was their big hit. Get up on this. Anyway, Salt and Pepper's in there.
I don't remember.
Tone Loc. I saw Tone Loc live. Maybe about 10 years ago at a throwback magic game. He was the halftime act. It was fucking amazing. It was so good. Because, like, you know, he has, like, Funky Cole Medina is, like, one of his big hits. You know, Regulate by Nate Dogg and Warren G. Again, just some of these songs were just so recognizable because of their, like, a good synth line or something like that. But then, you know, you got more modern stuff, like Dua Lipa's got a big hit that's on there. And really that's what you're doing, right? So like as you're playing the game, you can kind of just fuck around. You can just throw down anything you want. You could throw down four different drum tracks if you feel so inclined. It's going to sound weird, but you could. But then, you know, to kind of make it a game, to make what you're doing a game and not just like a fun DJ mixing experience, you have to please the crowd. So the crowd will want, they'll throw in requests, like they want to hear a specific song. And that doesn't mean you necessarily have to, like, play the whole song or anything. You could just throw in the vocal lead from it. And it probably sounds weird as I describe it, but, like, as you start throwing stuff together, the game sounds great. Like, it's just all of these different fun pieces of songs. It's really great to experiment where, again, you're throwing, like, the bass line from a Rage Against the Machine song over a drum loop from 90s hip hop while you're throwing in the leads from a modern pop song, you know, with like a bubbly bass line from a reggaeton track. Like all of it just thrown together and like, so, you know, not every track is going to work with every other track for sure, but The end result is that it's just such a fun experience. I've actually played it with a couple of other people too. Everyone just instantly loves this game. Everyone just instantly latches where they're like, wait a minute, now I get to build my own creative songs and I get to go in and fuck around with this thing. It's really simple to pick up and learn, very difficult to master though, I guess. And there is actually kind of a rhythm component where the 4/4 bar moves, so you kind of want to take discs on and off in sync with that. So like if you were in the middle of a beat and you pick it up, it sounds like a record scratching, right? I mean, it doesn't make that sound, but it, like, in your ear, like, to you, to the listener, it sounds jarring, that you would expect the sound to move in and out at a certain time, and it doesn't. So there is that component. You want to get high scores when you play the game version itself, and the game version is so shallow because all you're really doing is trying to get to, like, the main headline set of this crazy-ass music concert. And I had a lot of fun with it. It's really, really cool. Oh, and there's you can save and upload too. So one of the funnest things to do is just go see what other people do with it. There's some really, really talented people out there for mixing together songs and shit. And you're just like, I can't do that. But they come up with all these really fun mashups and reimaginings of songs. Hmm. Told you all the good stuff about it. It's fucking expensive. It's a $60 game.
Oh, shit.
But that's because the version you get on the Switch should unlock everything.
Oh, okay.
All of the songs come unlocked. If you were playing this on a PC or something, they would expect you to buy the tracks piecemeal. So, yeah. Like, whenever they come out with new songs, you'd literally have to go buy the songs to play in the game. It's kind of shitty. So, this one just kind of gives you... And it might be, like, everything up to a certain point. It might be, like, everything up until the game came out where they just, like, unloaded it. But I've got, like, probably 200 Fair Haired songs. So plenty of stuff to work with there. It's been great for me as a fan of music to, again, do that thing I love to do, which is think of soundscapes and think of isolating the instruments I'm listening to of a band on an album and think, like, you know, like, close my eyes and imagine the band performing and then each one of them just visualizing how they're playing their instrument. So this is perfect way to do it because it really shows you what the components are of your favorite songs.
There are groupies in this?
What's up?
Is there groupies in this?
Haven't hit that part yet. Oh. I wish there was a dating sim.
Involved with this.
You know? Yeah. It's like, oh man, me and the fucking parrot head woman need to fucking go at it. Yeah, there's like giant parrot masks you can buy and shit. There's all sorts of fun stuff with this. I totally recommend it. If you're looking for a fun rhythm game and you got a little extra cash to throw around, if money ain't an option when it comes to the price of a game, and you just are looking for a fun music game, I would 100% recommend this game. This is a really, really fun one.
How nuanced, going back to what you were saying about, like, pleasing the crowd, I take it that's, like, some part, like, part of, like, the main line, like,
yeah.
Objectives of the game, like, hey, here's a crowd, you have to please them. Oh, like, yeah. How nuanced does it get? Does it just, like, give you a laundry list, like, here's the things you like, and you just kind of, like, check off the things you're doing? Or can you, like, kind of,
yeah.
Is the AI smart enough to know that, like, you're doing something but kind of subverting expectations?
Not really that much. So what it is there's going to be a panel on the right. Which will say, like, you know, play two hip-hop tracks at the same time.
Hmm.
Meaning, like, throw down the drum loop from one and the vocals from, like, 50 Cent in the club or something. By the way, sounds great. You know, say what you will about 50 Cent. His rhymes sound great over everything else. Like, again, and this is great drum beat, too. Like, again, maybe you may not like a given song, but oftentimes you'll find two or three components of it that just sound great. That'd sound great if only they were applied to something else, you know?
Yeah, it's always weird when you hear those really girly pop songs, but then they put them with, like, a hard rock kind of background, and it's like, holy crap, why does this sound good? Like, it's...
Yeah. Oh, and to expand on that thought, right? Like, so, yeah, there'll be a bar, and it'll say, like, play two hip-hop tracks, or... Sometimes it'll simply say, like, eject two discs, meaning... Kind of get it back to bass. You don't always have to have four discs playing stuff. Sometimes it just sounds good to have a drum beat and a bass line. It just kind of resets. So resets for you as much as it does for the game and sort of giving you an incentive to rack up a couple of points. It kind of takes it all away from you so you don't constantly feel like you need to have four of everything going at all the time. It's like, so that's cool. And then, yeah, like literally you're asking, how do I know what the fans want? Because there's literally a Twitter feed. Or like, I don't think it's called Twitter, but there's like literally messages that come up during your set where it's like someone's like, man, I hope, you know, so-and-so is going to play blank track. And then you just know that.
At some point, do that.
Do that, and then you'll get like some happy fans.
Hmm.
So, okay. All in all, I'm really digging this game. It's super fun. Again, you will know whether or not you should buy this game. You don't need to hear me say it's a good game. I think that if you just like a music game and you don't want to whip out your Donkey Kong bongos, then I got a good one for you. It's called Fuser.
Where's our next Elite Beat Agents? That's why I want to know. Like,
good point.
I don't know. I think I'm starting to lose hope.
I think we gotta dust that franchise off. It is.
Maybe there were like three of them in Japan. Only one of them ever came over here.
Really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah,
what if there was a Crypt of the Necro Dancer, but and now it's taking over, like Metroid's world?
Hmm.
Is that a thing that could happen? Could they convert that into like a 2D platformer, wherein you've got to do everything in sync?
I don't know that you'd have to, but I mean, I'm sure they could give it a shot. I don't know if you'd have to. You can probably adapt a Metroid to like a top-down, or more of like a grid-based thing.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I have three games. The other game, I'll talk about briefly. Maybe I'll talk about it when I'm kind of done with this run of it. But I started playing Hollow Knight again. God damn, that game is so fucking good. Mm. That game is for real. I love it. I'm sure you guys both played it and love it to death, but...
Well, John actually beat it.
I did.
Yeah.
I got far with John, but I didn't... Keep up with them.
But we didn't realize how far we had gotten. Because yeah,
we weren't that far. How far were we? We were pretty far. Respectable.
We were probably like a good 60% of the way through like the main objectives.
Yeah.
But the thing with...
So there's about, as I understand, there's about 40 charms and about 40 bosses.
That sounds about right. But it's, like, it's depending on how you're playing the game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I when I beat it, I probably got like the worst possible ending. Because I just kind of did the main objectives and didn't much like collecting or
what was the ending? Something came down and ate you? Like, I don't...
No. There's...
The cute one with the skirt? I hope she's okay.
I'm not sure what the...
She's the one we're going to play in Silk Song, apparently.
Yes. I'm not sure what the overarching narrative of the game is. Apparently, like, you're trying to... set something free or something from that temple that's near the town. So I went, I beat the king, I beat the boss, I went there, set something free, and then I got chained up. And I became like the new thing that was chained up in that place.
Oh. Okay,
I assume that's the bad ending.
The big probably, moth thing?
It's probably not what we want.
But like the thing about that game is if you go into it, you kind of have to like adjust your expectations. If you think like, oh, this is kind of like a Metroid game. We're going to go around and collect power-ups and access different areas, and you do that. But you have to allow yourself to play the game on its terms and know that I might not know where I'm going. I might not know where the next thing... I might get a power-up and think, I don't know where to use this. Or you might have an idea, like, maybe I can use this over there, but then beyond that, you don't know where else it is going to be useful or how it's going to help you progress in the game. And you have to... unless you do what I did and just kind of like looked at a checklist where it's like, go here, go here, go here, go here.
Well, even then you can't really do that because it seems like every area, even like that very first area you're in, there's a few little secrets squirreled away that require the late game stuff.
Yeah.
That you eventually, all you really can do is just bookmark it and say, okay, I'm going to go back here and grab it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But you know, that's where a really good like interactive map, you know, comes in handy.
Yeah, where it's actually...
It takes a while for that map to become useful in that game.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've pretty much almost... So far, I pretty much always had the charm equipped to show me where I am on the map. I think it's just super useful.
Yeah, you have to essential. Have that one.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're the type that's played this game for hundreds of hours and have played through it multiple times and just kind of know the layouts of the maps, you can probably just bring it up and look. Because the map actually does give you a lot of landmarks. It gives you, like, a lot of... identifiable iconography that says like this big temple is right here. Okay, I see a big temple.
Yeah, you do kind of get like little sketches or etchings of like structures and stuff, so you can
you can generally figure it out.
Yeah, but still, it's just a great convenience. But then yeah, and then the woman that is apparently married to the cartographer, she'll like sell you little things to put on the map, which is good. They're different colors, so you can kind of put a red for an enemy thing or a gold for a...
You just have to have a book off to the side and just write everything up. Like, there's a thing here in this area.
It would be funny if it, I mean, honestly, like reminds, that's like what they would say in, like, the, like, 80s of... Like, in the 1980s when they were playing, like, text adventure games, is that you would just draw maps.
Oh, you have to, yeah.
Or even the original Metroid.
Yeah.
You just get your graph paper and you kind of, like, just chart out all those tunnels and shafts and... Mm-hmm.
My nephew asked me one the other day. He was like, "Well, Uncle Wes, I don't know what game to get, and I want to see about this Hollow Knight game. My friends keep talking about it. I'm like, I think I'm going to buy it. I'm like, hold on. I'm on my way over. So I went over to his house and I put on my Switch and go, here's the controller. I started a brand new game. And like, let's see what you can do. He had a hard time getting through the first like initial little area. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to get this game. I'm like, no, you're not going to get this game. Like, I had to show him like, no, this you're not quite there yet, pal. Like, give it some time.
Yeah, and he shouldn't feel bad about that.
That game's a freaking headache.
I bet $20 his friends are full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
I took, speaking of how shitty children are, I took Mika and Ripley, they're okay, to a playground today.
Speaking of children, let me trash mine.
No,
you're talking about your children are shitty?
They're fine. They're okay. Fine. Shut up and listen.
That's why he was like going in on how bad children are, and he's like, my children, but they're my children are fucking saints.
Well, the way he worded it is not like something horrible happened with other children, and now his children are like horribly disfigured. Like, they're fine. Don't worry.
Let's
let alive.
John tell the story.
Let's not take this too far. They're not saints. They're fine. Solid 6 out of 10s. And I was sitting on a bench, and they were off playing in a playground, and there were a couple of kids on some playground equipment, and they were talking about Pokemon, and one of them was like, oh yeah, my main one is Mewtwo. I got Shadow Ball on it and Recover, and I've maxed all its stats. I maxed out its attack and its accuracy. It's like, this kid has no idea what the fuck he's talking about.
Nope.
He's just talking just to make
pure nonsense.
Yeah, you maxed out his accuracy. Did you know you maxed out that accuracy stat?
Yeah, you.
Cool.
It's like, I only run Swift.
It never misses.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I'm sure, like maybe some of your nephew's friends have played and gotten significantly far in Hollow Knight. I'm skeptical that very many of them have, though.
Yeah, I'm like, he's getting there. He's getting more complex games. But I mean, it's so tough nowadays because I'll go over there and he's just playing Fortnite. I'm like, no, Jacob, no.
Don't you judge him.
How much
do you play World of Warcraft?
My nephew is obsessed with Fortnite as well. It's this generation, like these kids, they love that shit.
Man. It's very surprising though, because I was watching it, I was like, holy shit, this kid can aim. I can't do that. Like, holy hell.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, nah, my nephew is like really fucking good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, and granted, it's a very casual shooter. Kind of game. And
I
really
can't play that game. I suck at that thing.
Also, the thing that I noticed that he's really good at is building stuff. I'm used to shooters where like I shoot things, not where I build things. And then like try to cheese opponents by like just constantly crafting shit that they can't shoot.
Well, it's such an interesting arc for that game because that game started out as a
zombie defense game.
As a building game.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing, and it wasn't until after, I think it was just after PUBG came out, they're like, hey, we should do a battle royale mode too. So they did, and just kind of kept some of the building stuff in there. And now Fortnite is still around, and you know, every once in a while you hear something about PUBG, but
yeah, well, yeah, like kinda... League of Legends is a World of Warcraft, or sorry, a Warcraft 3 mod, I think it is, or is it
League of Legends?
I think that's just like a bunch of different Blizzard stuff thrown together.
Well, I know, whatever it was, kicked off the whole trend of those. It was built off of World.
Or is that Heroes of the Storm?
Sorry,
I'm thinking of
Warcraft 3.
No, Warcraft 3 is, if I never actually played it, but I think it's closer to like a Age of Empire.
It's an RTS.
Yeah,
it's Warcraft those... started as an RTS.
Yeah, and League of Legends is a...
But no, it was a mod. No, there was like a mod to Warcraft 3 that eventually became what is now Dota and League
Maybe
of
Heroes...
That style of game.
What's the Blizzard one? Is it Heroes of the Storm?
That came after all that.
Yeah, that's like way
That is Blizzard's reaction to them becoming,
it was,
like,
that's what Dota
psychotic.
Means. It's like Defense of the Ancients.
Yeah.
There's those ancients. I digress. Yeah. I don't know the history of this shit.
I don't know where they originally was modded from or anything like that. But yeah, Dota came out and then League of Legends came out.
Well, it's kind of like how Counter-Strike is a mod of Half-Life.
Hmm.
Like, and that was my shooter.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're all just mods of Solitaire. Let's just fucking... I don't know.
Hey, I played a game of Sudoku the other day, and I was like, man, this sucks. I was like, this is just so painful. I mean, it was a hard one, too, and I beat it. I did finish it after, like, literally, like, 40 minutes. It was a tough one.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. I'm not doing that shit.
Mahjong, though, is like crack cocaine, though.
Best game
ever.
Oh,
I saw a video. I saw a video of... It literally was a Mahjong table, and you just put, like, the actual, like, a physical Mahjong thing, and you feed it through a thing, the tiles through a middle thing, and he opened it up to show you, and just sorts all the tiles out, and they just raise back up to ready to be put out again.
Oh, like it shuffles?
Like a shuffler.
Wow.
It was a Mahjong shuffler.
That's amazing.
That sounds fantastic.
Oh, I gotta find this video for you. for after the show. But man, I'm like, Ryan will get so hard watching this. It is just,
yeah. I watched a 20-minute of Hibachi Chef the other day. I was just like, I wasn't even eating the food. I was just watching a video of a guy do hibachi shit. And I was like, this is funny. This is great. Because honestly, it was the comments that really killed me about it. Because comments were fucking hilarious. Where they were just like, you know, people, like, imagine the people at the table complaining about how long it's taking the food. And then it just shows the chef who's doing the salt and pepper shaker, like, drum stuff.
They're all hungry. And
he's like, this has to be prepared in the ancient ways.
So I finished Cyber Shadow. I'm done with that game. Generally positive on it, but I'll get into some details here. So, there is some backtracking that you can do to collect extra HP and mana upgrades. Those are the primary things that you are collecting throughout the game. I finished the game at about 80%. I'm going to start some of the negatives. I'm overall positive on the game, so I'm going to start with the negatives and close it on a positive note. There are some mechanical issues with it, specifically in the way that you do like your sort of a running attack. So in order to run, you have to double tap forward. And then you can go into like a slash from there. And doing like the slash will give you a dash attack. You can pass through enemies and do damage. It's a good way to dodge if you are in like an arena fight with a boss. It's unreliable, though. I tried it both on the Joy-Con as well as the Pro Controller D-pad, and there are times where I'm, like, tapping multiple times just trying to get the character to run, and it's not something that is a mechanic that is going to work 100% of the time, and that's, you know, not good.
You're probably doing it wrong.
I doubt it.
It's frame-perfect inputs. And if you were not such a filthy casual.
And you're a professional Super Smash Brother player, then you just...
Oh, yeah, I could wave... Go. Yeah, I was wave dashing all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
I'm surprised you know that term.
I host a podcast called the Nintendo Show.
But he spends most of it talking about PlayStation games now. Piece of shit.
So, yeah, that's not great. Also, there are... I finished the game. Like, it counted, like, the 80% completion of like, all the collectibles that I found. It took about 9 hours, a little bit more than 9 hours, and over 350 deaths. So, that's not great.
That's great that it tracks it.
It is pretty funny.
I love games that do that.
So, a fewer deaths than I took in the Messenger, but... a lot of the deaths I took were because they throw these platforming challenges at you, which are genuinely good, like, platforming challenges. You have to, like, run and wall kick and maneuver around some obstacles. But then every, you know, especially toward the end of the game, they also throw these flying enemies at you that will move in not any specific pattern. They'll just kind of, like, randomly wave around. So, you know, you could be running, you could figure out like the pattern of, okay, this is how I'm going to get through this platform challenge, but then you'll have a run where just something flies and hits you in the face and sends you down a pit and you die. And I don't think that's a very good design. Like, you had a good platform challenge here, why'd you fuck it up with this flying enemy that's just there to troll you? And there are sometimes ways around that where, you know, if you're doing a run, you can, like, slash through them and they'll kind of send you catapulting off the other side, which then can then, in turn, throw you off the platforming rhythm that you're trying to get into. So, a lot of the deaths that I took were just kind of, like, mean, trolly things. Like, oh, you just got popped for some little damage by an enemy flying in randomly and you fell into some spikes. So... go back and do this other part again.
As I recall, when you talked about it last time, didn't you say that the waypoints are upgradable?
Yes.
So it's sort of like, you know, dying is a feature.
It would be if you were actually collecting money every time you were running through, but there were times where I'd do like come to a platforming challenge or something where some of these trolley things were going to happen, and then I get sent back like a bunch of screens earlier, so I had to redo things that I'd already like figured out and can get through pretty easily. But I'm also not getting any money out of it. So I might like be at a platform where I can upgrade it and give myself like a handy little item, but I don't have the cash to do it. I'm not earning any cash by playing through the things that I've already mastered over and over again.
Yeah, I've noticed that in Hollow Knight. There is absolutely a walk of shame that occurs if you don't beat a boss the first time.
Yep.
Where you end up going back to the thing, and you're like, all right, well, this wasn't so bad, because at least I get 50 coins along the way. Or get 50 Geo.
Reclaim my soul.
You know?
Yeah.
I digress.
Anyway, well, on to the good things. Like, the platforming challenges are genuinely very good for the most part. The bosses all have recognizable patterns, so once you kind of figure out like their cycle of it's going to do this attack, then this one, it's very steady the way they do that. So, you know, fighting a boss two or three times, you'll pretty much get the hang of it. Not to say like it's a picnic. It's not always like super easy. Like, you don't have just time to stand around and say, okay, I'm just going to observe this thing for a while. You do have to keep moving, but once you get the rhythm of it, the game does a good job of putting you in a state where you understand the rhythm, then you can figure out the boss.
The bosses look cool.
Bosses look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was intending to end on a positive note. The final boss is a pain in the ass because it's three forms and no checkpoints in between. So, and the first, I kind of must have been the first like 12 times I went up against the final boss. I went in like with no health, so I had no opportunity to even try to learn anything. It was like, okay, here's the final boss, and hey, it appeared right underneath you, and you're dead. Like, okay, now I got to go through the first two phases over again. And the second phase has a little bit of randomness. It'll shoot some projectiles at you, and the projectiles will kind of home in on you, so you have to position yourself to where you can let them come at you and then dodge out of the way. Hmm. So you can find yourself in a disadvantageous position every once in a while. And speaking of that unreliable run mechanic, after about a dozen times, I was able to get to the final boss with full health. I was like, this is great. I'm going to figure this out. And then it launched a couple of volleys at me, and I moved out of the way. But I had accidentally double-tapped, and that was the time that it worked. And I just intended to step back and attack.
In other words, you panicked.
I mean, I was at full health. I had no reason to panic.
Oh, the panic bashes. Yeah.
But it...
It's okay. I haven't solved this, John.
Because I accidentally double-tapped, and it actually worked that time, it sent me into a dash attack, which sent me over a cliff.
That's rough.
At full health. And I was like, you know what? Go to hell, game.
Yeah.
This is the time you're going to have the dash work. Great.
That is like losing a stock in Smash, because you just, like, fall off a stage accidentally.
Yep.
You're playing the same character as someone else, but you forget which one you are, and you just immediately spawn and then walk off the edge and die.
Mm.
You know, that sort of scenario.
I've been watching a lot of videos on YouTube of just Smash saltiest moments or Smash funny moments. It's just a bit of joy.
Well, it's in Brawl they bring up how there was like a really, really slim chance of tripping.
Yep.
What a dumb thing!
Yeah, that was the dumbest thing. Oh my god, that's so stupid.
Yeah. I've seen those. I have seen some clips of that from tournaments where it's like tournament play and Brawl, and then it's just like the most inopportune slip, and then it's like that person's done, and it just cuts to the guy's face, just like, fuck, not even like raging, just like
go back to Melee.
What am I doing with my life?
Yeah, some of these new characters are fun to watch. Some of their quirks and everything they do. That Steve guy and
that Minecraft
hero. Hero's weird. Mm.
Steve from
Minecraft.
Resident Evil?
No, it's not Steve Burnside, sadly.
Oh, we should discuss this, though, since he brought that up. How's your new phone?
That's fine.
I guess it didn't work, though.
Oh, no, I got all your pictures.
Yeah, did you get mine, too?
Wait, which ones were yours?
Oh, you don't even know.
Did your phone blow up? Like, it was just ring, ring, ring? Or no. Was it just... I just flipped through and they were just all there?
No, it's synced with my old account. So as soon as I opened up my text, I was like, oh, look, a bunch of messages from Wes. Oh, cool, it's Steve.
Damn it. Mine were, I think, mostly of Slowpoke and then Link.
I did not get those.
That's heartbreaking.
Did you change your number or something?
Did you send it to the wrong John?
I don't... She's a gal. Like, oh, shit. What's going on?
John Stockton just has a bunch of pictures of a slowpoke for no reason.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
So for the listeners, John's wife texted Ryan and us the other day, and she goes, Let me find this text, because this was hilarious.
Yeah, she did the same thing. She started just taking a bunch of pictures, and she was hoping that my phone would get blown up, too, as soon as I turned it on again.
Yeah, her exact text was...
No, it did not work.
So, I may or not be sending tons of pictures to John's phone, so when he gets his new phone, it goes nuts for a few minutes from all the delayed messages.
Just scroll down from here if you want to see what I sent.
Oh, look at this guy.
And I am not encouraging you to do the same. So, Ryan did a bunch of slow pokes. John's favorite character from Resident Evil Code Veronica is Steve. So I
No.
A whole bunch of Steve photos. Oh, he did send up those Gerudo Link photos.
No. Steve is the worst, which is why we love him. But no, fuck Steve. I'm glad he died.
I just sent him a whole bunch of different Steve photos. Oh, whatever was like, that's different. Throw that in there. Sent.
The thought that comes to me every time I play it now, again, I should probably stop talking about Hollow Knight so much now, but every time I play it, like, the Knight should be a playable character in Smash. Like, that's like the no-brainer. Like, if they were going to introduce more characters, like, he's your guy. How fun would that be? Wouldn't it be just the coolest shit ever if you could be him?
I think that would work.
Yeah, he's, like, perfect for it.
I didn't know Bailiff was a, is that the name? From Final Fantasy? Not Final Fantasy. Fire Emblem.
Who?
The main character from...
Byleth.
Yeah. I said Bailiff. Yeah. Byleth.
Bayleaf?
That's a player role character. I didn't know that.
Yeah, she got added, I think, at the end of the second wave of characters or something.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Yeah. We need more Fire Emblem characters. That's what we need in Smash.
Yeah, we need more Fire Emblem characters. God. And more random Final Fantasy characters.
I mean, it's not entirely random. I mean, if they want to put Tifa in Smash, I'm like, sure. Yeah, let's do it. Objectively the best Final Fantasy VII character.
There is a significant lack of Hooters in that game, so we need big giant. Yeah, you got that. You got me there.
Like that, it's an example. Zero Suit Samus.
Okay.
Yeah, the 2 out of 70 characters.
Yeah, we need more. We need more.
Piranha Plant.
Wait, what are we naming?
Sexy Smash Brothers characters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, are the Ice Climbers related? Because if they're not, then that's sexy as fuck. I don't know what.
So.
Moving on. Hard moving on.
In general, I had a pretty good time with Cyber Shadow. But yeah, that final boss is just infuriating. But yeah, I think I give it a recommend. Maybe, I think it's $20, maybe wait for a sale. I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah.
Ryan, you got one more?
Yeah, one more. I hope you guys are ready to talk about a little bit of Xenoblade.
Oh, we're talking about Xenoblade.
Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah, I hand you the microphone.
Oh my god.
Take it away. So just before you go, Wes and I objectively think this game is good. Yes, Wes? Yes. We both really like Xenoblade? Yeah.
Oh, you and everybody else. Don't get me wrong.
Me and Wes have talked about this game at length many times, so the floor is yours.
All right, cool. So this game from 2012, right, that got remastered this summer, apparently, right? Or this past summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can go on to Metacritic right now. It's got, like, a 90% approval rating from critics and, like, a 90% approval rating from fans. This is objectively a well-liked and supposedly good game.
God damn it, Ari.
I did not enjoy this game.
I'm surprised you stuck with it as long as you have. If you do not
enjoy it. I mean, I play action RPGs all the time. If you think about it, this past year alone, I played, like, fucking Witcher. You may not think of it as such. Doom is very much an action RPG. In the same vein of this, it's just in terms of what your objectives are. The Borderlands game I'm playing right now is very much this. It's just you're changing an aesthetic a little bit.
Compared Borderlands to Xenoblade. What the hell?
Yeah.
That's a first-person running
gun. No. So what you're doing is you're following you're playing an action RPG in which you are following a main quest line, picking up mini quests along the way in order to level and spec your character while fighting monsters that have a level above them that indicate whether or not you should be fighting them. I just described both Borderlands and Xenoblade.
Yeah, but Borderlands is a first-person shooter where
It changes the way I do DPS to my opponents.
It's a completely different feel of the game. It's like
Well, I mean, like, Sorry, I'm being a little shitty here. I know, but they are alike in a lot of ways. But I struggled to say, like, so I don't like this game. I don't like this game at all. And it was sort of like, why don't I like this game? I should like this game. It seems like it's sort of like saying the Mona Lisa's bad, you know, or saying the Beatles suck. Feels like I'm shitting on something that's supposed to be good. And I think I found the perfect comparison. This is just like a movie that has a 90% approval rating from critics and fans. Avatar. This is a bombastic, giant thing that is ultimately hollow and soulless. It is like a perfect comparison, I think.
Does Avatar really have a 90%?
Yeah.
That is shocking. I do not like that movie.
Everyone was really blown away at the time by the graphics. And to this game credit, like, fucking looks great. But, all right. Strap yourselves in. John, you talked about 40 minutes about X-Men in the 90s last podcast. So I'm going to go. Stop me when we hit 40 minutes.
Oh my God, we're seriously about to do 40 minutes?
I'm joking. It's not going to be that long.
My God.
All right, so we're talking about, like, so what do you do in this game? You're battling, right? I think that's probably my biggest complaint is the battling in it. It's just not great. You know, Borderlands, like you're saying, is a first-person shooter, and yeah, I pull a trigger and I shoot something in the face.
Yeah, that one's like, they need to come up with more things than just simple JRPGs. I mean, this is like a shooter JRPG, and this is like a turn-taking, not really, no, it's not turn-taking.
There's three core components to this. Yeah, that's what I see as a battle system, right? So this is an auto-battler that has quick time events and has way too many cooldowns on skills. And not all that is really bad on its own except the cooldowns. I think cooldowns are just bad, like, in general. Especially in a game where some of the cooldowns are literally 30 seconds long. That's just bad. Like, why would you make... All you're doing is making you wait to play the game. And the cooldowns are so unnecessary because, like, when you're using your characters, like, no one skill is, like, game-breaking, in my opinion. I don't think there's any one skill I could sit there and spam over and over again and dramatically change the course of a battle. It seems like it's a lot of little things you have to constantly be doing. So if I'm backstabbing the whole time, it ain't gonna work. It doesn't really end the fight any faster than if I were to just use the complement of skills I have in the first place, right? So, like, you're doing that, and then you're doing a lot of waiting. And then they give you this auto-battler side. Like, they don't even let you have the pleasure of, like, hitting something with a sword. They make you wait for it to happen. Like, you don't even have any actual agency of swinging the weapon or shooting the gun or doing anything like that. You kind of just gotta wait for this to happen so it builds up stuff so you can do things, right? I understand that there needs to be some kind of, like, way to control how much damage you deal, but it's so passive, I don't like it. And then in the middle of that, they slam you with these fucking quick time events where you gotta hit A, or I think it's B. You gotta hit the B button. Like, a big circle appears, and the B thing circles in. So at the same time, like, I'm, like, waiting there, you know, I got Shulk over there just hacking away at the guy, right? While I'm waiting for all my cooldowns, and I'm like, oh, by the way, quick time event. And it's not like a positive thing happens from hitting the quick time event. The only thing that happens is a negative thing if you don't hit it. And that you don't get to fill your bar to use your little combo attacks, which seems like the only really real way to, like, pump out damage. So, totally boring as fuck battle system, right? Like, it's using all of these bad things, things that in a vacuum maybe aren't so bad, but string them all together, right? You're kind of just waiting for shit to happen the whole time, right? So, you also can't juggle your party in battle, which is just so fucking stupid. Why can't you pick... The game requires you... The game relies on this ridiculous break, topple, smash thing. Like, I didn't realize this is what I would be doing for 30 hours. Like, you gotta do so much of this shit. And it's like, why do they make it so no one... correct me if I'm wrong. No one character seems to be able to equip skills to do all three. They sort of break it apart such that, like, one guy's got to, like, one, like, some will have a couple. Like, I think Dunban has a break and a topple, maybe? Or somebody has a break and a topple. With cooldowns, mind you, so you can only do it, like, once every minute. But they do, there is someone that can do it. But generally, they want it such that one character breaks, one character topples, and then one character does the yellow bar. But, like, you have to rely on the AI of your other guys to do it. So you can't really just, like, it's with all of the dead time you spend in the middle of a battle, this is the thing you should be doing. Like, it's an X-Men Legends kind of game, where you're hopping around from your characters, and you're synergizing them well, and you're doing all that fun stuff. And in the game, you're just kind of, like, sitting there. I went to the Xenoblade subreddit, and there was this hilarious meme where it was, like, Shulk explaining to Ryan when he needs to do the thing that he's supposed to do. And there's, like, a little bar above every picture, and then by the time it's gone, he's like, "Wah!" and he does it. Like, this is... Wow! This totally captures my experience of the battling of this game. All right, what else? Repetitive battle inputs. Every battle is the same way. It's, for me at least, and maybe you guys have found more diverse ways of playing this, but I'm typically maining Shulk, and it's pink move, red move, pink move, red move. If the bar is now green, I do the yellow move. Oh. Right? And don't worry, there's exclamations above everything if I should be doing that. So if I see an exclamation, I do the exclamation. Oh, man. This is so bad. Right, like, so... It's like
you have to enjoy it to some degree to put this kind of hours into it, though.
I mean, I do.
How much of a glen of a punishment do you be like, this is a garbage game, 30 hours later, you're like, all right, let's keep going. Like, it's...
I think part of it was the time invested. And again, I mean, this is definitely a rant I'm delivering to kind of put this game in the corner, put it in its place. But I'm not going to lie. It is not without its charm. I'll say that. It is okay occasionally. All right, so
it's in pieces like John and
yeah so it's just like I feel like every fight goes the same way, and it's like there's some really cool bosses, bad guys in this game, but if I'm fighting like a 30 foot tall mech monster or like a bug the size of a football, I'm approaching every battle the exact same way. So you don't really get the gravity, you don't get the scale and the grandeur. In spite of how great it looks, it doesn't necessarily translate that well into combat. That's my point there. The warning system. This is almost a good idea. The whole warning system.
This is almost a good idea.
It's weird in practice where I wish I could kind of turn it off sometimes because, like, you know, I got Ryan out there. He's got like 9,000 health. And this thing's telling me that Ryan's about to get hit for 600 damage. Like, I give a fuck, right? Like, he'll be fine. Why are they... And it just takes time. It just adds more time to a game. It just makes the fights drag on for so, so long, while depriving me of the poking it with a sword on my own. You know? Maybe I play too many games where, like, I get to swing a sword or shoot a gun or do something fun, and that this game just says, like, no, you're gonna be just putting a series of inputs here. You're gonna hit all these skills in the right order, and then things are gonna light up. You know? It's fucking sucks. get this. I counted this. This is the weirdest thing. This is totally me just shitting on the game and going deep in on why I hate this. But there are 10 inputs, minimum 10 inputs you have to issue with your controller to complete a single fight. Literally starting and ending a fight requires 10 jargon inputs to make a fight happen. Like in Borderlands, I put a cursor on a thing and I pull the trigger and it shoots it. You know, like at a most primitive level, that's what you do. Like, if I'm playing Hollow Knight, I hit a button and sword attacks things, right? And this one, I have to lock onto a target, select the move that I want to do, and then trigger the fight with a quick time event. And then suddenly I'm fighting. Great. Good for me, right? And then to end the fight, when all that's done, you've got so much more menuing. And if you didn't manage to sync up all of the different fights you have together, you got to open up, you got three more unique inputs for every single chest that's there. Like, you can't even just, like, casually run through something, see something 20 levels less than you, and not press 10 buttons. Like, what the fuck? This game is ridiculous. Okay, this one is very much about the meta. Maybe you guys have teams you like. So, if I got the math right, you have 7 characters, right? 7 times 6 times 5 means you have... 6 times 5 is 30, 7 times 30 is 210 teams. Right? 210 possible team combinations. Go look at a strategy. Go look at a YouTube video on strategy. There's two paths you get, and each one has about 3 or 4 builds. You either go physical or you go ether, right? And then there's really not a lot of in between. And even if you go ether, you're still probably going to put Ryan on your team. The guy is just for real. He is wonderful. He is great. I'm not going to lie. Ryan's the shit. But then... The probably my favorite character of all 7 is Charlotte. And, like, literally one of the guys started his video. It was titled, like, ranking the best Xenoblade characters and Sharla. Like, just basically just dumping her in the trash can. Because she does not synergize well with either build, no matter what you're doing.
No, her heels are so minuscule. And I mean, you figured out a way to make Sharla work, right?
Her break...
John's being so quiet her right break now. Has he's like smiling here and there. He's like, oh.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you to unload. I'm just going to be a shotgun kind of thing.
You're just going to wake up and John's going to be above your bed with a knife. I mean, it's just going to be...
Her break move has a 40-second cooldown. Why? Why can't she fucking break? Like, her and Ryan make a great team because nothing can break you. Nothing will get through you. Like, he is so strong, so tanky, and she is so good at putting up walls and healing that, like, two of them together... Easy mode the game, as long as time is meaningless and you can have every fight last 10 minutes. Like, they're really indestructible, but you just don't have the damage that the game requires you to have, and that's why you need to have a synergized team. That's who I ran with. By the time I got to the end of it, like, most of the game I was running with Shulk, Ryan, and then Dundan, and then maybe around level 50, I saw that everyone says that swap Dundan and get Fiora. Because she's a tough motherfucker. And that whoever her Monado thing really pumps. That thing hits hard. So that is useful. But still, like, I got all these characters, and it's like I have no incentive to use them. And there's just, too much to do. Too much to manage with all of that shit. That once I kind of settle in with three... Oh, and by the way, like, you know, if you're building this team, why wouldn't you main Shulk? Like, it's so obvious. He does everything. He's got a little bit of everything. He's got a solid heal. He's got that ridiculous Monado maneuver. Oh, and back to Sharla. Her thing, her fucking special orb, her, like, special ability, just, like, reduces the... lets you use her moves again. Like, you have to basically stop your gun from overheating. It's like her special power is not doing anything for 5 seconds so you can keep doing stuff. Like, talk about fucking this poor girl up. Man, they really ruined that character. Like, that bugs me, man. They really, if you're gonna, like, and this is the remaster, they've had like fucking 8 years to realize that they put this girl in the basement and, like, they could have done anything to improve her. And they're like, nah. No, thank you. Stay where you are. Alright, moving on to the next topic. That's all I have to say about the combat. The combat in this game is just like a joke. I don't know what to make of this. Do you guys, comments? Anything? No, John. Oof. John's like, all right, whatever. Okay.
Blood vessel in John's head is about to pop. I don't know.
Next topic, and the rest of these won't take so much time to talk about. I think, given that you probably, I'm assuming the average player probably spends about a third of the time, probably a third of the time in battle, a third of the time wandering to get to battles, and then a third of the time doing things that are not either wandering to battles or, you know, getting into them, like specking characters, looking at myriad menus, whatever. Next, you got mini quests. This game boasts, it brags about having like 500 mini quests. These are the dumbest fucking quests ever.
John, didn't you do them all?
Really? You did?
Well, John, straight that's up impressive. 100% of this game.
Can you tell me, like, what any one of them was about?
I can't tell you what any quest was about in any game.
Yeah. Right, so, from what I've noticed about this, these are super duper shallow, simple quests. They are either fetch quests to get items or kill X number of a thing. And there's no consequence to any of it. It's just like 500 different things that you have to do. Or you don't have to do, but you can do if you feel so inclined. But there's really nothing to them. And it makes me think of, like, okay, so like The Witcher. The Witcher has one of the best mini quest systems I've ever experienced in a game. It is like when you pick up a mini quest, you like turn into Fox Mulder. Like, you're about to go solve a mystery. You're about to get into a really interesting story.
I always use the example of the lady in the frying pan.
Yeah.
The quest is just, I lost my frying pan. And then he goes to this whole big thing about this guy doing a ritual and he needs like the charcoal off the frying pan and is like summoning something. You're like, what the fuck is happening?
thing. Yeah, you get one of these, and you realize an hour into the quest, you're like, wait a minute, it started with someone telling me to go look at something? And it's
I'm missing my frying pan. And then you end the quest with, here's your frying pan. Yeah. And you 50 XP. You're like, god damn it. Like, it's just...
Yeah. And again, the rewards are not really that important in those Witcher quests. They're just fucking fun. They're a great little ride that you go on where you get to use your detective skills and, you know, you get to make really big decisions that impact the way everyone... Like, there is a great one. I think it's one of the ones that you kind of encounter early on where it shows you that there are going to be decisions that are important. Where there's this thing underneath this tree that's been killing children. And then you go, and then the town folk are, like, banding together, and they're like, nah, fucking go take this thing out. He's killing the children. That sucks, man. And then you go do that, and the thing says to you, it's something like, I'm trapped here. I've been tortured and compelled to do this by an evil force. It's this witch in town that did this to me. So then you can either just kill the thing immediately, collect the quest, and move on. Or you can go back to town, investigate, and find out that there is a woman there practicing black magic that did this, that killed all the children. So the game rewards you for making that leap of faith and going to investigate further. And then the town folk love you even more, not just because you ended this thing that was going to be a problem, but then you kind of outed the source of the problem. So again, that's a good example. And admittedly, that is a game that came out four or five years later. I don't want to be like shitting on a game for things that games in the future are doing. But you
realize what you just described to me is, you talk to a person, gave you a quest, you walked to it, talked to another person, said, I don't want to do that. Walked to another person and said, okay, now I'm going to fight you.
Yeah.
Without all that narrative window dressing, you've described walking around and then getting into a fight.
Yeah, but it's...
Which is why John prefers Xenoblade, because he's not about the story of those little things. Because
all the bullshit.
Well, you still...
And you just hit things with your sword.
Well, you got to walk to the people and collect the quests still. Hmm. Like, that's what's wild. And don't worry, instead of doing, you know, 80 quests, you're now doing 500, so you can multiply the walking by, what, 3.5? So at least there's that.
It is much better to look at than Witcher 3.
Yeah. I mean, well,
In that defense, in that sense, you watched Witcher 3 on the Switch. You haven't watched Witcher 3 on, like, the PS4.
Those browns must look great.
They do look great. Those browns are terrific.
All those browns and grays.
It's okay, I'll lend you the game.
Well, really, and I think that's ultimately my point about this, is you can have, instead of having 500 quests, have 100 quests. And string them together such that maybe they have more meaning, and that maybe you can integrate the town folk in a way that's interesting. And that maybe you can just have a little bit of character development, maybe do something with these things for people that, you know, actually kind of want to have a story, like a Borderlands to their credit. Some of the best characters in all of video gaming that I've ever played. Like, it really is a robust world that they've built with really interesting characters saying and doing interesting things. I don't think you can just brush that off. Like, it's good to have a good story. All right. So if you're going to do that, though, gather up all the quests all at once. Do that. Gather every single quest as quick as you can. And then, because this game loves red exclamation points, just go do the things that have red exclamation points, and you will accomplish most of them. I'm sure that you probably spent some extra work hunting down. If you did all 500, by the way, that is quite the accomplishment. It's certainly better than collecting Korok seeds. I don't mean to say that it's the worst thing ever, but...
How many hours was that first run through?
On the Wii? I don't remember.
I think it was like, if I remember correctly, it was, what, 145-ish?
Maybe.
That's a ton of hours. But hey, I play a game in a perpetual state of Diablo 2, so it really shouldn't be too much of me complaining about the hundreds of hours anyone spends doing anything, because I know what I've done with Diablo 2.
Next topic. Are they doing a remaster?
I think that's the rumor. I don't know if they haven't officially announced it yet, but yeah. Next thing, and most people tend to agree with this part, no matter whether or not you love this game or whatever, the platforming and movement in this game is garbage. Like, they give you a jump. Why? Like, you jump 2 feet tall, and the entire world is built 2.5 feet tall. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to jump over a thing, and I did not jump over it. Like, this game is so fucking stupid with jumping. Like, you don't need to jump ever.
It just, yeah.
Like, you can walk around the entire map and not once jump. I can't tell you how many times I've walked up. There's like a ledge. It's like a ramp, like for a wheelchair or something. Like that's the whole idea. And I can't make that jump. I can't make the little jump on the edge to get over the thing. You know? Stupid. So stupid. Climbing. I know that they know that climbing is bad. And I can prove it to you because they have to put a little white arrow over literally every climbable object. You can go up a thing where they make you change the vines, and there's a little arrow on every single one of them. So you're never confused that an object is climbable. Like, you know what Borderlands does? They give me a double jump. They give me a double jump, and I run fast, and I have ramps. I can equip skills that make me move 300 times faster than I'm supposed to. Like, they show you a grand building, and you're gonna climb it. Like, you're not gonna climb it with vines. You're gonna fucking jump up it and use jump pads and, like, really explore. And this game, like, none of that. Just, no, that does not happen. I did see, this is so funny, I've actually looked up a lot of information. So in the other Xenoblade games, they say that you move too much. They say that in the newer versions of the games, they make the characters move too fast. So it tells me some people actually kind of like being gimped. Like, again, why don't we have a double jump? That's a simple enough thing, right? We should be able to jump 50 feet in the air if we want. I don't think that really changes anything. I think that makes these beautiful big worlds that they've built more explorable. Or maybe they were concerned. Hey, maybe they were concerned that you would realize all of it's just window dressing. And that their maps are not as big as they would lead you to believe. Huh? Yeah, that's my conspiracy theory. All right, fall damage. This game should not have fall damage. That is so fucking stupid. Like, literally, there was a battle I had to do where I had to climb this spirally tower, and I get to the top, and I have a big fight, and, you know, I must have had Borderlands on the brains because that happens all the time, and you've got this gorgeous thing to view over, and then the game just sort of tells you go run and jump in the direction of the thing you want to do. I did that and fell to my death. You know? It's like, why do we... We're like fucking superpowered, like, heroes. We can tank a 50-foot fall? Come on. That's stupid. All right. Next topic.
50-foot robot punches you in the face. Everything's fine.
Yeah. Oh, no. And the no faster run walk. I wrote that there's no faster run walk. There is faster run walk. It comes at the sacrifice of your gear, which you'd probably rather be using to do things like, you know, increase your damage so you don't have to spend so much time fighting. Doing this thing, they said that if you buy every item from a vendor, they'll give you like a 5% speed boost. I was like, okay, that's interesting.
That's Xenoblade 2.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Never mind then. I need a bicycle. I just want to, like, in 1996, in 1996, Pokemon makes a fishing game that's more complex than the QuickTime events in this game, and they give you a fucking bicycle. Like, why can't Xenoblade just do something to help you out? All
right, now we're going to quick travel, right?
Oh, but yeah, but why would you want to though?
Because you want to move faster.
I quick travel when there's a thing worth killing that I can farm 10 times. Like, that's what I was using the quick travel for. You should be able to just sort of freely explore the environments without relying too much on those quick travel waypoints. And man, they give you a ton too. Like, you can be at one and see one, you know, like they're really generous at those. But part of me would rather just be a little bit faster and, you know, generally traverse and climb and do and like be in the world and, you know, move around, you know, that is a really big problem in this game. And I'm not joking about this. The platforming and movement is just bad. For the world that they've built, you really should be able to get around a little bit better than what they let you do. Next topic, and I only got a few more topics. The gear and looting, man. So this topic alone could have totally turned me around if I just liked the gear in this game. It's so bland. It is so fucking bland. You've got like 7 characters who have like 7 pieces of equipable gear, I think. So that's like 49 pieces of gear. And they all require gems, so, or like should, if you're building a character, right, they'll have gems. So that puts you over like 200 or is it 150 items-ish to spec your characters, right? And the best they can do is like when you get new gear, it either has like plus blue or like minus red. It is the most primitive gear possible. And I get that there's like a block and a crit chance and stuff like that. That's nothing. that doesn't mean anything to me. I'm not going to sit there and, like, weigh the options of, like, oh, no, is this plus three here, but it's got the five armor here, or five block chance here. It's like, what am I doing? Too many meaningless little decisions for how much gear I have to equip on my characters. I mean, it's wild. Like, and I understand the rarity goes from, like, white to blue to purple. The gear is also, like, repetitive. It's the same gear over and over again. I'll go through an area and then bring up my inventory, and I've got four pairs of the same purple boots. You know? It's like, I'm constantly getting retread gear over and over and over again. Like, there's... It's almost like they're missing a rarity. It feels like there should be, like, a unique gear that you just don't get. And why are they giving me so much gear? They give you 250 inventory slots for each equipable piece. That's actually kind of fun. You can hold like 3,000 items, which is good, because otherwise, really, I'm just converting this all to cash. So, begs the question, why not just give me cash? like, I don't need all of this stuff. It's clutter that I just now have to micromanage, when really I just want some funds to buy the things that I actually do want. I found the best way to get through this was just to, every 10 levels, strip all the gear, remove all the gems, strip all the gear, and then respec every single character. It takes like 10 minutes, and you will be optimized. The idea that I would constantly be going in and picking and choosing inventory on these for how basic these attributes are, it just doesn't seem to be much of a reward. Oh, and there should be an auto-equip. There should be a quick auto-equip. Final Fantasy Tactics does it, you know. That's it. Like, just fucking auto equip. Again, I'm not gonna get into the minutia of whether or not it's better to have crit chance or block chance, or at least let me auto equip everything, and then I can say, like, I don't like this piece, or I don't like that piece, maybe I can do that. Just not feeling that at all. Diablo 2 is the most rewarding slot machine that's ever been made. Like, that's what makes me play Diablo 2, is the fact that at any moment, at any point in time, a dream item could drop. There is no one dream item either. Like, you know, the best jewel you can get in the game is a blue jewel, and they make unique jewels, and there are rare jewels, but the best one you could possibly ever get is a blue jewel. So every single jewel you want to check just to see what it is. Maybe it's your lucky day and you got one of the most valuable pieces of gear in the game. So this game really whiffed on not giving you more complex gear. Like, there could be unique gear with special attributes. I was thinking about this too. This is me spitballing how you could really improve this mechanic of a 90% approval rating game. But if you wanted to, you could make special attributes that work with other teammates that make you integrate teams in ways that you hadn't thought would be necessary. So, like, say for example, you've got your girl Charlotte, right? Every time you heal Ryan, he gets 50% increased damage for 7 seconds, you know? Or imagine, like, every time Shulk uses that, the one move that he has that I barely ever use is the one where he takes a big chunk of his own health away to improve his Monado. Imagine if every time he did that, Ryan now absorbs all aggro. And this could be an attribute on an item, and it would be a gold item. It would be super rare. It would make doing these battles a little more rewarding, knowing that something like that could drop. And I didn't even, I mean, just pick any move, or, like, you know, it's like every time Charlotte casts a healing spell, all cooldowns are reduced by one. Or one third of her fucking ridiculous bar gets reduced, so she doesn't have to, like, recharge her weapon. You know, like, these are all ways that they could improve the characters and maybe make you find ways that you would want to work them in with others just by manipulating some mechanics of the game. Totally missed out on that, and that's something you can do in 2012. That's not the first time anyone's ever thought of that. Opening chests, stupid. This is more manual inputs that you don't have to do. Why not just drop the items on the fucking ground, you know? Like, and all of these collectible items that they make you do that aren't related to quests, they're just going to be sold for money. So again, same with all of this unnecessary extra gear. Why don't you just give me the money? And again, drop it on the ground so I don't have to go through a bunch of menus to pick it up. I could just walk over it. I could walk and just observe it, what's on the ground, and see if I think it would be useful, and then pick it up. That's way better. And this is just a punch in the dick here. Have you noticed that the bosses don't drop any loot? these boss fights are sometimes incredibly difficult, and there's no reward. They don't give you a fucking... You know, this should be, like, the biggest chest. This chest, you should open it, and there should be 10 more chests, each with awesome shit. Like, they should really pay you out for this. And while they do give you experience, I think you get experience from it. That's cool. But, man, no. Like, the gearing in this game is terrible. Why? Why would they do such a
thing? So you hate the loot, but you wish the boss gave you some?
Yes.
Cool.
Well, I wish it would give me a gold item that had a special attribute that would do something fun. But, I digress. Characters. Wow, okay. Characters bad. So the characters in this game, the big problem with them is that they just don't have any personality. Like, they deliver, and it's sad because of just how... One, how good the voice acting is. Voice acting is really good. And there is a shit ton of spoken dialogue. It's all throughout the game. Like, they talk a lot. And they tell you about stuff. But what they're telling you about is really, really boring, trite RPG dialogue. About what the next thing that we're going to go do is. All of that stuff. Like, nobody ever says a fucking joke. Nobody has a joke. Two characters never fight. Like, just verbally argue. Like, two characters, like, for some reason, like, fucking Dunban and Ryan should be just at each other for some reason. Like, they don't ever have any kind of sense of that. There's no camaraderie. Nobody ever does anything scandalous. Nobody is interesting. They're all so boring. I feel like, for the most part, you could really just sub anyone's dialogue for anybody else's dialogue, and you kind of get the same thing. The closest thing to, like, a story beat that I recall about the characters that wasn't really about what all they're doing is that Charlotte is now hooking up with Ryan, and that her ex-boyfriend is now like a half robot dude, and they just sort of like do the baton pass and agree that Charlotte's now Ryan's. And it's like, that's a moment. That's a thing that happened. And I mean, that was kind of cool. But otherwise, like, one character has personality. It's Ricky. And his personality is that he's annoying. Like, these people are so fucking boring. It kills me.
I would love to see them also. Just that general race. Just make an entertaining version of that. Like, Xenoblade 2, how many of those little fuckers are around? And all of them are just obnoxious little... even the character you get in your party, you just want to punch him in the face. I love these games, but fuck that thing. I don't know what it is. Those little weird...
I don't know what it is.
Easter egg... rabbit-eared hand Easter eggs, monster. Right? I don't know what that thing is.
I don't know what it is about these Nopon, but yeah, someone at Monolith really likes them. And they shouldn't, but they do.
I mean, I feel like I'm running around with Jar Jar Binks. I mean, it's just, shut the fuck up.
Let's get comparison, hey, you know? Another critically well-received movie that's hollow and soulless.
God damn, that... I like Xenoblade. I enjoy these games, especially Xenoblade 2. I really enjoy these things, but those things are... God damn, I hate those things.
Yeah. But yeah, and just to that point, like, hey, bring it up again. Borderlands crafted some fascinating fucking characters. I love hearing their dialogue. I just love them talking. They're so funny. They're great. And again, and this is actually one thing that I think would really improve it. Again, I'm not saying it's... I'm not saying... The story is dry and dull, but the voice acting is really, really good. What they really should be doing is delivering the dialogue as you move. That's something that a lot of other games do now.
Yeah.
That's such an obvious thing. Don't make you sit there and spam A, because you want to hear what they have to say, but at the same time, I don't want to just sit there and listen to them talk. We have headsets. We got bugs in our ear. I don't care. Put a picture of the character that's talking to me, and then they can just all exchange the dialogue as you're moving to your next objective. It's just a simple fix. That's a quality of life thing that they could have done. Here's a deep dive on a topic, right?
How many minutes are we in here, John?
We're going on
33.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is taking a lot longer than expected.
You're fine, John. I have a problem with
that. Shit. The British accents? Okay, so they're British? And I think that in a real world meta sense, like outside of that, there are literal people making a game here. They maybe just farmed the workout, but they liked the voice acting done from a number of British actors and were like, these people best convey this thing. But as I understand this narrative, which is just so fucking ridiculous, what happened, what all of this is a computer simulation from an alien space, or not from an alien space, but from a spaceship, right? And that what's happening is that, and to prevent the computer from overheating, They have to reset the world, which is what Shulk and your crew are fighting to prevent from happening. So basically, they're trying to make this computer crash. Right? And the computer determined that everyone should be British in this fantasy world. Are the people in space British? Did the British, like, in the year 3000, is the future of supercomputers determined by the British for some fucking reason? And they're Cockney? Like, Ryan's Cockney accent is fucking hilarious. Like, I love it.
There's a simple answer to this British thing, why everybody's British. We got the European version.
We didn't. It never got localized for North America.
Oh, Nintendo that's the whole didn't want to
publish.
Damn.
Because this game was such a late Wii game, Nintendo didn't want to publish it at first, and they eventually agreed to. We're like, okay, but we're not redoing any voice acting. You're gonna have to deal with the UK version.
I hope that they wouldn't change the dialogue either, so you have an American person being like, "Oi."
Dick Van Dyke's probably available.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he's dead.
So that's why everybody's British.
Yeah. Okay, that makes that actually makes a lot of sense.
it actually, like, continues in Xenoblade 2.
They kept it going.
For reasons. There actually is a reason for it. But everyone has, like, different versions of, like, British Isles accent. You got, like, Scottish people and Welsh people and the Cockney British accent, like, the posh British accent, Northern British accents. Yeah, it all...
Man, what a bunch of jokers.
Actually, I think that is a line.
It is.
Yeah.
That's Brock. I've just played the game. Everybody says the same shit over and over.
I thought you were talking about from Xenoblade 2. I thought we were still talking about... I thought you were just... No. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right,
it's Ryan time. I mean, come on.
It's Ryan time. Yeah, so, okay, really quickly, the next thing is just mechanics. There's just games so fucking overloaded with mechanics. You have a passive skill tree, which is, like, weird, that you have a thing you have to decide to what to do with all your other characters, and you get a capacity of points, and it seems like there's sort of a threshold where if you've got 100 points, how are you going to distribute 100 points, which every time you change your teams means you pretty much, you should have to swap some of that shit around. I think that's a waste of time. You have your active skill tree, which, you know, is cool. That's fine. I'm actually totally on board with it. It's cool that you have skills, and that aside from Shulk doesn't get any extra skills because he's probably got such a diverse set of skills. Why would you need anything else? But it looks like everyone else gets, like, if you can equip 10, you get 15 to choose from. So I guess that determines if you want a character that's maybe more built around toppling something, or I don't know what the fuck. But then on top of that, you gotta, like, you get level caps. And then you have to talk to the vendors to buy the plates to expand the level caps. That's just silly, you know? That's just more... Might as well be getting HMs, you know? Just let me level my characters. Come on, man. I got, like, a billion affinity points. Let me do it. Affinity. Yeah, it's a thing that you have to have, you know? Great. Community chart. I probably looked at it once. I can't believe that there's this giant chart of people that, like, don't matter at all or have anything of interest to ever say. And I've got to talk to these people for some fucking reason because I got to get their friendships up or whatever. No, thank you. I don't think it's called Critterpedia, but there is a thing that's like Critterpedia. Again, I think I've unlocked two of them because I just stopped trying to unlock them. I think the reward is gems. You get gems from just getting the crystals. Oh, that's the next thing. Gems and crystals. I kind of like this. I actually kind of really like the gems. This is kind of a fun thing to do where, you know, you get to think about how you're going to craft good gems and how you can get them to break or whatever it's called, chip or crack, where you get two of them. And, like, I found a lot of really clever ways to do that where it's, like, if something is, like, the third attribute that you really care about on a thing that's a piece of garbage, you pair it with another one to just go ahead and get the gem of whatever it is that sucks. But then you have a chance to rank this other one up. So that way you can stack that one with the other one that you have and also end up with the same as its cylinders, you know, pure cylinders. So all they do is that. So that way when, like, your fucking guys are doing it, they craft those 300% ones and you get two of them. So that's pretty sweet. I think it really sucks that unless there's a way you can do it, I didn't find a way to do it, where you can rank up the gems. It'd be cool if you could take a level 1 gem and convert it to a level 2 gem. It seems like that's not something that happens, so I literally threw away all my level 1 gems, just because it was the one item, the one time in this game I've ever gotten close to hitting an item capacity was with the gems, so I was just, like, trashing them all. F that noise. Oh, and this is insult to injury. The heart to heart. Heart to heart. They have no character development at all, and then they make it a way that if you want to find out anything about who these two people are outside of all of the mayhem that is their existence, you have to, like, grind to get a story beat. Like, this game is so dedicated on pissing away your time. Like, I think that kind of... pluses. I'll wrap it up by saying the things that I think are good. Which is, one, it is a very colorful, vibrant, beautiful world, fully detailed. It's great. A lot of it feels very look, don't touch, but I ain't gonna complain about it. Like, the part that I was over here playing you with, and I was like, you know, we're literally in the hand of the god monster, and you can look up in the sky, and you can see the fingers arched over you. It's like, it gives you all of these really, really wonderful moments, constantly. Like, the game is constantly gorgeous. So, credit where it's due. Like, this game is absolutely beautiful. Shame they didn't build a much more entertaining experience. This game could probably be better played as like a fucking walking simulator. Like, I could play this game in 5 hours just observing these grand environments and be a real happy camper. What else do we got here? Soundtrack. Apparently they have 4 different soundtracks made. And then they just put them all in at the same time. I don't know if you guys are really... They have 4 different composers make scores for the entire game. So, oftentimes you'll get these very eerie ambient areas. Sometimes you'll get like big orchestral pieces. And then like in the battle, which kind of overdoes it, maybe a little bit too much, but you get that big old rock and roll stuff. You get those big electric guitars and all that shit. And that's fun. That's cool. I really like the music a lot. And again, yeah, the voice acting is great. Really great voice acting. Tons of dialogue. It's just, you know, they had a really big budget to make something that ended up being super hollow. And I'm done. That's it. Great game. 10 out of 10. This game's better than 90%. No, this game's actually, it's garbage.
Strongly disagree. BioShock 2. I played through it. I finished
that's
it.
That's enough of that, huh?
It's fine. Well, next up is the retro show.
Oh, we're just going to wrap up the show?
Yeah, that's... Any thoughts on BioShock 2? I guess I liked it more than 1, but that might have been because of expectations, because with 1 I was expecting some sort of, like... intricate like exploration where you get like power-ups that allows you to unlock new areas. I was expecting more of a Metroid, and it wasn't Metroid, it's just a first-person shooter. In BioShock 2, I was expecting a first-person shooter, and that's what there was. The big thing, I guess, was you get to play as a Big Daddy, but playing as a Big Daddy, it's exactly like playing as the other guy in BioShock 1, except there's a drill you never use. I actually didn't mind the parts, because like, there are also parts where you get like the little sisters and they have to harvest the atom out of the corpses and you have to like defend them while they're doing that. I actually didn't mind that. That was okay. That's like really the only like mechanical difference is now you have like these zone defense segments of the game. Otherwise, it plays very much like BioShock 1. The maps are better in BioShock 2, which they damn well better be, because it came out afterwards.
Yeah. So on to BioShock Infinite?
In a little while. There's a lot of games coming out in February, so moving on to BioShock Infinite when the deck gets cleared a little bit more.
Yeah. If you ever get interested in playing Borderlands, you let me know. Because
I've had enough first-person shooters for a long time.
We can play some Borderlands.
Borderlands is for real. I'll talk about the pre-sequel sometime. Not to at such great length. But yeah.
He kept talking about Borderlands, so I'm like, I kind of want to play some Borderlands.
Go for it.
Some Necromancer. God, I love that Necromancer.
That was a good one.
Oh my god.
So the retro show's next.
Yeah.
And we do have some games that are worth talking about on the retro show. A couple of N64 games. I'm going to give a few more thoughts on Rayman, because I'm going to get a little bit more into that. Pokemon Stadium came out in February.
Ooh, I still own a cartridge of this.
Nice. Do you have a transfer pack? I think I might have a transfer pack.
No.
And Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Oh, I do have one of those big cartridges that go in the back of the N64 controller, so you can put your Pokemon game in it.
I think it's a transfer pack.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that.
Cool. Yeah, because that was like the thing. You needed that for Pokemon Stadium, unless they're just like giving you like their pre-selected team.
Yeah.
Do you need like a Game Boy card still, though?
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have one?
I have one Pokemon Yellow card in the transfer pack.
I think I still have a card for Pokemon Red.
Hey, then great. We can do this. I don't know if I have it. I don't think I have any of the old ones.
We can play some Pokemon Stadium.
Good.
But then, like, yeah, there's a bunch of movies, a bunch of films
there that we're
to talk about.
I've been on a movie-watching spree, and it means to, in a way, to kind of gear up for this, because I thought it would be fun.
Yeah, you're really committed, too, with one of those. Like,
Which one?
Reindeer Games.
It's not the worst one. I wouldn't even say it's that bad. It's definitely flawed, but it's an interesting thing.
I think there's a good amount of interesting movies, but
heck of a month! Like, you had a lot of options in the theaters.
I know, right?
February,
right?
You know,
and a lot of these movies are coming out on the same day.
Real quick hit on Reindeer Games though. It's a movie that's literally set during Christmas, and it comes out 2 months after Christmas. That's what they thought of this fucking film.
Oh no. Oh, that's bad.
I didn't even think of that.
I didn't realize it was a Christmas movie until I got to the end of it. And I was just like, I guess technically this is a Christmas movie.
At the very end of the snow, he's like, Merry Christmas. We're like, oh shit, it's a Christmas movie.
Because there's part, everyone's got Santa outfits on. I guess it didn't put two and two together because there's not a lot of logic required for a film like this.
Oh, we also got Scream 3 and The Whole Nine Yards.
That we do, Pitch Black.
Yeah, Pitch Black, The Beach.
The Beach, that's one I still need to watch. Yeah. Oh, and Scream 3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Secret highlight. We'll talk about it, but
that one's on HBO Max. I'm going to check it out. I'm hoping to check out a few of these movies before we do the recording on them.
Watch Boiler Room, too.
You know what? I can't remember if it was Boiler Room or Pitch Black. Maybe it was both.
Thinking of your Vin Diesel films?
Yeah, maybe that's the reason why. That's the connective tissue. But I was adding them to my Netflix queue to get the discs, and one of the two, I can't remember which one, but like it was like, we can't add it to your queue, we can add it to your saved, because we don't know if we're ever going to have it again. So I was reaching so far back that even Netflix DVDs were like, you know what, no, we can't do this for you.
I bet those three people at the warehouse were just weeping, we can't help John. We can't get a movie.
They're like going through all the shelves, where are they, like dumping everything out in the warehouse, everything scattered all over the floor. We need to find Boiler Room. Where the fuck is Boiler Room?
Just give him Fast and the Furious. He won't know. It's Vin Diesel. He loves Vin Diesel, clearly.
But that's it. That's it. That's the end. We're done here.
So long.
Sayonara.